22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Yep, magical engineer Frank. You ready? Oh, he's ready. I'm ready. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about novel foods. We're going to talk about food tonight. Some of these novel foods aren't meant for our body, so we're going to talk about that. We have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute to our Semper Fi, to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I hope you are too. And here in Romans 5, it said, "But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." So if you want to skip the tribulation period, because the Bible says that that's what it is. You save you from the wrath. And that's a coming. So mind the time, your crow short, seek the Lord's face. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they've expanded the vaccination schedule towards American kids. So the childhood injection schedule is changing. So it's gone beyond just the measles, mumps, rubella, and flu shots. The CDC is proposing further additions or vaccinations to the schedule. And, of course, they're releasing this now because they want to speed up the process so the insurance companies will make payments on these new recommended vaccines that should be starting up in September. So updated schedule will include the new disease treatments for monkeypox, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, the Wuhan coronavirus, or your COVID, hepatitis, of course, papillomaviruses, the HPV, and you're also flu and pneumonia vaccines. They've escalated the number of shots, and they're kind of closely spaced together in intervals for the kids. A lot of health authorities have voiced a little concern there. Some childhood advocacy groups have now said that the safety measures involved recommending these alterations, there hasn't been any testing to assess risk for these children to get up to 80 injections. Back in 83, it was just 11 shots. Now there's 80. So they also argue that the CDC hasn't subjected the entire childhood immunization schedule to a thorough safety and efficiency testing. Well, duh. And just heads up there. What'd you say, Frank? Frank says, so any child entering public school will basically be poisoned. Well, that's what an artificial infection is, Frank. Come on, catch up. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report, Red Lobster. Hey, have you been to the Red Lobster Fish Feast, Frank? Well, if you have and you haven't and you missed it, it's not coming back. They retired it. Customers ate so much food, the restaurant lost money. Their third quarter earnings, $11 million, and then by the time it was all done, $22 million in losses last year. No matter how much traffic came in to eat, it didn't offset the food prices. Oh, my gosh. All right, somebody didn't do the math. Bon appetit. We're going to talk about food tonight. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, thank Frank. All right, we're going to be talking about our novel foods, not meant for our human bodies. Yep, because I was talking to someone recently, and I mentioned that prior to Noah's flood, man ate plants. So the human body is designed for grains, fruits, nuts, vegetables, and water consumption. Man seemed to thrive on such a diet, living hundreds of years. But after the flood, animal meat was introduced to the diet, and the lifespan of man was reduced to 120 years. So our modern diets also include what the scientific world and the food industry call novel foods. And life expectancy for the average human is roughly 80 years, but most live to be about 77. So this indicates that food changes our human DNA, and thus food changes everything. Here's a quote from Dawn Serling. She's a medical doctor, professor of medicine, Florida Atlantic Schmidt College of Medicine. She said, those of us practicing medicine in the United States today find ourselves in an unique position. We are the first cohort of healthcare professionals to have presided over a decline in health expectancy in the last 100 years. Our life expectancy is lower than other economically comparable countries, and we can see a tracking of this increase along with increasing consumptions of ultra-processed foods in the diet. End of quote. Wow. So what we put in matters. So the body reacts to what we eat. So it reacts to what we eat, breathe, absorb in, or even in what's injected into the body. So a study in February 2024 from Florida Atlantic University Schmidt College of Medicine published their report on the excess of novel foods that people are consuming. So what is meant by novel? Well, it's described as not only new, but unusual or unnatural. So this research did get published in the February 2024 American Journal of Medicine. Now, according to the journal article, they said hundreds of novel ingredients never encountered by human physiology are now found in 60% of the average adult diet and 70% of a child's diet in the United States. They said this presents an unprecedented health hazard due to the massive consumption of these food products, and this may be the new, quote, silent killer, end of quote. Wow, let's talk about the silent killer, because, you know, for the last 60-odd years, the scientific community and the media has been listing silent killers as high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, cervical cancer, diabetes, osteoporosis, sleep apnea, liver, fatty liver, pancreatic cancer, and lung cancer. So if I had to put the novel foods into a category list, it would be processed, prepackaged foods, or they call them ultra-processed foods. Some ingredient examples would be your fizzy drinks, processed cereals, packaged snacks, processed meats, foods with additives, processed oils, sugar, fats, processed salt, processed grains or starch, emulsifiers, which are your chemical algae additives for liquid suspension, carrageenan, which is a thickening agent taken from seaweed, Mono and diglycerides, these are additives to prevent separation of liquids. Carbomethylcellulose, which is a cellulose ester used as a thickener. Polysorbate, which is an emulsifier to suspend liquids, and also soy lecithin, which is another emulsifier. It keeps water and fat mixed together. So these researchers over at this Florida Atlantic University, they wanted to test a hypothesis. Yeah, they had a thought process going on here. A hypothesis the researchers of Florida Atlantic University wanted to test regarding these novel food ingredients. They wanted to know how the body reacts to them. So they reported that overconsumption of these novel foods or these processed foods increased the risk of diabetes, obesity, and heart disease. Here is a quote from Allison Fair. She's a medical doctor and professor of internal medicine at Florida Atlantic, and she participated in the research. She said, when the artificial components of a food are contained within a natural whole food matrix, they are digested more slowly and more inefficiently, resulting in less calorie extraction, lower glycemic loads, and lower triglycerides, which is your stored fat for energy. So after eating, you're storing less, she says. And she goes on to say, this type of novel food produces higher risk of arterial sclerosis plaque. Wow. So the rule, I guess, in identifying what the novel food is, if you can't find the ingredients listed in the processed foods in your kitchen, then they are unnatural, novel foods, and maybe you shouldn't eat them. I wouldn't. So the ingredient list that we mentioned are hazardous to your health because our digestive tract can't digest them. So they are not foods, and they increase your risk of disease. Allison Ferris goes on to say, we are seeing more patients with inflammatory bowel disease due to the novel foods produce more bacteria and can trigger an autoimmune response. And this could explain the increase in colorectal cancer in younger adults as well as other gastrointestinal diseases. End of quote. Yeah, I mean, people in their 20s, not even 30, you know, having to have, you know, colorectal cancer surgery and things like that, which is before unheard of. Let's see. This is Charles Henkins. He's a medical doctor at Florida Atlantic University, Schmidt College of Medicine. He's involved in the study. He says, we believe it is incumbent upon all healthcare professionals to discuss the benefits of increasing consumption of whole foods and reducing consumption of the ultra-processed foods with their patients. He goes on to say, just as the dangers of tobacco began to emerge during the middle of the prior century, decades passed before the preponderance of the evidence and the efforts of forward-thinking health officials to prompt policy change to discourage the use of cigarettes. So we're likely, he says, to be on a similar path with the ultra-processed foods. And then Dawn Sherling, also a medical doctor and professor of medicine at Florida Atlantic, says the multinational or multi-international companies that produce the ultra-processed foods are just as, if not more, powerful than the tobacco companies were in the last century. And it is unlikely that governments will be able to move quickly on policies that will promote whole foods and discourage the consumption of the ultra-processed foods. Healthcare providers also should remain cognizant of the difficulties that many of our patients have in being able to afford and find healthier options. Well, yeah. I mean, everything's gone up, you know. Not just the price of gas, all your food. So it's harder and harder for people on fixed incomes to, you know, get organic stuff that won't make them ill. So what we have food corruption is what we have. So the corruption of the U.S. food market, personally, I thought it was driven by greed, but I think that's just part of it. So European countries and even Russia have higher quality food than the United States, Well, they don't allow GMO foods, and they eat more of a wholesome, basic diet. They don't struggle with the obesity and other Western diseases we do, which begs the question, how do you take down a superpower nation? Answer, from within. Toxic food, toxic water, and toxic medicine over time will weaken a nation, and that is what we now have. So we got to get back to basics. And it's not that hard, really. Mine's grown up, my family, my elders, my parents, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, they all said the kind of the same thing. You can get used to anything. So just have that mindset. Yeah, I got to make some adjustments. Yeah, I may crave some things in the beginning, but, you know, when you start to feel better, you're gonna rationalize, well, yeah, if I eat that, though, I'm going to be right back where I was and increasing the risk of disease. So proactive health is more than just drinking more water and getting regular exercise. It is also about screening your foods and your medicinal treatments. And you want to avoid illness, that's what you're going to have to do. So being savvy about supplements is also a necessary thing. And you want to make sure you are getting organic whole food supplements and not just a blend of isolated chemicals. So the body knows the difference. And so Tilth Standard Organic will be your best source of foods and medicinal plants. And you're going to have more minerals and vitamins and proteins in your Tilth Standard Organic ingredients. So what Tilth Standard means is the land rested for 5 years and the mineral content built up back in the soil. And they didn't use fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides on crops growing in that soil. So it's really pristine. And, of course, it's going to be more expensive when you have a crop growing there. So, but it's worth it. Your health is worth it. It's an investment in your health. So I would call the folks at Apothecary Herbs for their professional strength Till Standard Organic Herb formulas that are pretty much the game changer. And their free product catalog will include your immune support, your metabolic support, and your toxin removal formulas that will empower you. You would be amazed what you can do. So call them, Apothecary Herbs. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., the international number is 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Web address, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Now, they have this savvy supplement sale going on, but it's just for a few days. So you can save 20% on orders of $65 or more. Use the coupon code SAVVY24, but you want to hurry. The sale will end the 29th of February, and restrictions do apply. So be savvy out there. You want to get good quality. You want to get something that's going to benefit you in the long run and be worth your hard-earned money, basically. That's what you want. If you're on the website, don't forget to sign up for the free online newsletters that they have there. You just go to thepowerherbs.com and you click on books and newsletters. And you can sign up for the American Survival or the Health Quest newsletter, which go out weekly, but you do have to have email to receive them. So go there to the Power Herbs and get signed up. Sorry, we don't have a way to snail mail those. And your catalog, by the way, if you do want to download to the catalog, if you put it in your cart, their product catalog in your cart, check out for free because the catalog's free. You'll receive a receipt with a download link if you want to download it. You will also receive a hard copy through with the regular mail. But for those who want something right away, you can do the download. All right, we got a few minutes before we got to take our first break. And we're going to shift gears a little bit. And for those of you that want another, I guess, outlet to hear Herb Talk, you can also find us now on Rumble. And it'll be under the Empowering Apothecary if you want to check us out there. We also have shows on our website under the Herb Talk archive section so that you can listen anytime. Of course, AVR does post the shows, but they are there for a short time, like a week, Frank, I think. So there's multiple ways to get empowered. All right, we're going to talk about genes, your genes, not the kind you wear, but your genes that control behavior. So new research out of Cornell University is seeking to identify which genes influence a person's behavior. So science has been busy mapping out the human brain for a while, and this study is presented to, it was published in the Proceedings of the Royal Society, and they have kind of zeroed in on the anterior hypothalamus region. So here they are reporting that this segment of your brain is your reproductive behavior area. So parental care, for instance, aggression is all in this area of your brain. So what we are witnessing is the development of a new branch of science called social geometrics. Social geometrics. And this is a study of how our genes influence our behavior and what is influencing our genes. We're going to take a look and see where this could be leading. What do you think of that, Frank? Genes. They want to know what genes influence you to react. And so then now you have your mRNA products that actually alter genetic code. Isn't that something? All right, so let's look at the signaling pathways. Do you remember that story, Frank, the children's story, Hansel and Gretel, and the trail of breadcrumbs, you know, that they laid down? That's kind of an ideal illustration for this social geometrics. The social behavior that is linked to genes works as a biological signaling pathway. So if scientists follow the signal where and when it happens, it is like the breadcrumbs leading to you in your and what genes are involved. In the last 20 years or so, science has identified genes as your DNA, and they say this is pretty concrete, and that is set in an inherited strand, they said. Science also states that the social factors that influence genes and activity are also in there. So our DNA gets coded with what is called cellular behavior. Now, genes, they say, express themselves when the DNA is transferred to RNA, and then it is a protein, and proteins shape cell structure and regulate things such as movement, metabolism, neurotransmitters, and your biochemical responses of fight or flight. So remember, I keep telling you that protein switches can switch things on and off as far as function in your body. And science is becoming more and more apt at controlling those protein switches. So it's important to realize, behavior control through protein switches is, you know, just around the corner, pretty much, just around the corner. Now, it's kind of about your tools, basically. So one way, you may be wondering how they came up with this explanation of how your genes are influenced by behavior. Well, the invention of your microarray technology that identified DNA and a survey of their expression has pretty much led to a lot of these conclusions. So scientists are also able at the same time to map gene activity inside your cells. So these tools reveal that often the gene expression is an exception to the rule because cells are selected of which genes they express, and this is encoded in your DNA and it affects your RNA and also the proteins. So scientists have claimed that with the technology that our environment and our experiences will influence our genes, and it gets all transcribed into our cell nuclei, which we can pass on down the line. And this has led scientists to believe that social behavior can be regulated through gene expression. And some examples would be regulating through society stress, or terrorism is an example, or isolation, or how about pandemics or disease progression of strong viruses? Well, and that brings forth tools to combat all that as far as disease goes, and voila, mRNA. Oh, we got to take a little break. When we come back, more on the other side. Be right back. Mm-hmm.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
"22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate the bumpy music. All right, we're talking about your genes and how science has figured out how they can better control us through our gene expression and protein switches. Here is a quote from Andrew Bass. He's professor of neurobiology at the College of Arts and Sciences, and he says, We are beginning to better understand how to change patterns in gene expression as they relate to short-term changes in behavioral state. Well, they're looking at your accelerator cells, actually. So science has figured out through gene expression that certain social influences can cause what is known as an accelerator cell, or cells that spike a certain immune system response, such as influencing white blood cells and even inflammation. In essence, they are learning how they can steer the immune system. So imagine science can regulate your immune system up or down during a viral infection. So, and viruses are probably your most lethal or virulent, and they're the fastest way to contaminate a population. So they think they understand the genes involved in the making of your antibodies, your killer T cells is another word. They therefore also have what is called a molecule framework of this. So therefore, they suggest that social isolated individuals, or those that are exposed to recurrent threat or of a loss, will be more susceptible to inflammation, heart disease, and viral infection. And this would explain why the elderly in nursing homes who do not see their family and get influenza vaccines do not fare very well. So the immune system is kind of a key to the scientists. Through their studies of social genometrics, they have discovered an immune system key. Apparently, the immune system has genes that are highly sensitive to social condition. For instance, emotional stress can lower your resistance to infectious disease. Now, things are orchestrated, but they want to socially engineer your orchestra, if you will, how your body metabolically defends you from threat. So it would appear that science is attempting to find ways to remodel the human body through gene expression, which is influenced by one thing is your environment. So we all are in kind of an experiment together when socio-environmental conditions are altered, and thereby altering our physiological and behavioral responses. So your experiences not only shape your future, but also your DNA as well. Here is a quote from Steve Cole. He's a researcher at David Geffen School of Medicine. He said this: molecule composition of our cells constitutes the physical machinery by which we perceive and respond to the world around us. Molecule composition is subject to remodeling by socio-environmental influences. Future research will have to be determined which genes would be subject to social regulation and which types of social conditions elicit these dynamics. End of quote. So, manipulation. So they're also looking at brain receptors. This is Emory, a University Health Science Center. They discovered some links between DNA sequences and your brain chemistry and affecting your social behavior. They report that your gene manipulation of brain receptors made an unsocial mouse more social. So they're experimenting with mice. So brain receptors are influenced by hormones, and with gene manipulation, the scientists were able to control behaviors such as communication, aggression, sexual behavior, and memory. So in their research with the mice, they were able to simply make a change and make the mice behave as transgenders, if you will. Now, Dr. Thomas Insull, he's with Emory, he also says, what is really intriguing about this is that a change in a promoter sequence of a single gene can lead to a new pattern of receptor expression in the brain, and the result is a profound difference in something as complex as your social behavior. End of quote. Wow. Well, they're looking to have more influence. So what we can conclude here is the research that they're doing. There's a number of factors that can influence our DNA, our metabolism, and our behavior. So, for instance, food can directly influence your DNA, for the better or worse, within 6 days. So imagine what tobacco and alcohol and vaccines are doing with animal DNA and other ingredients due to the influence of the mRNA vaccines. So within the halls of science, there will forever be a debate regarding the influence of nature versus nurture, and with regard to what is influencing our DNA, the factor of vulnerability and the resilience should also be taken into account. So interactions with our environment is really not the only influence. There's also the spiritual to consider. So we have to wonder what experiments are being considered and using right now with social media, prescription meds, and what's going on all around us. So manipulation, molding the masses, if you will. So, but you have a lot of power, spiritual power, you know, people that are, that pray, stay closer to God. Medicine is already determined. They don't really know why it happens, but people are healthier. People do better after surgery. They exit the hospital sooner if they're spiritual in nature. Make sure you stay close to God and He'll stay close to you. And protect you. Don't you remember in Scripture, wear the whole armor of God? Yeah, that'll protect you. So, and, you know, make sure your foods are clean, organic, and your medicinals are. So a lot of people don't realize they may be on medications that are creating a condition for them. So you can check by usually typing in the name of your medication and the word side effects and see if you have a drug-induced problem, like dementia, for instance. So always investigate your, you know, medical therapies very carefully. But if you would like to check out the natural side of things, you know, medicinals have antioxidants, they have vitamins and proteins and amino acids and things. These are the kind of nutritional elements that preserve the body, help the body regenerate and heal itself. I would call apothecary herbs, they have a bunch of stuff. They have pandemic kits. They got snake bite kits. They got prostate kits. They got kidney bladder kits. They got sleep apnea packs. They got cataract macular kits. They got all kinds of things that will empower you. So check them out at thepowerherbs.com. And you can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or visit them online at thepowerherbs, thepowerherbs.com. And get a free catalog. Definitely do that and be empowered out there. All right, so we're going to be shifting gears just a little bit. We got a few minutes left in the hour, and we're going to be talking about what people are thinking about modern medicine, and specifically about all the prescription medicines that are being used today. So modern medicine is taken some notes. They have learned some things that people are more likely to try therapies that will prevent disease, not just manage it. People are wanting cures, and, you know, I can understand why. Therefore, scientific medicine has invested in more preventable type therapies that they're marketing on their own, which include obviously still drugs and surgeries, though. So this technique has been rolled out in most countries, and you may have seen the news reports on they would perform mastectomies as a prevention method to avoid getting breast cancer, or prescribe heart medications to those that think they may have heart disease in the future due to family tree history. They don't have the disease yet, but that, you know, that's illegal according to the tenets of medicine. You can't give somebody a treatment for a condition they don't yet have, but they're doing it. So you may even wonder how successful medicine is going to be selling this approach to people. I think people are a little savvier than they think. I think most people are going to say, well, I'm not sick yet, so I don't think so. All right, so computer programs are being used, obviously, to determine to, you know, the futuristic health condition of individuals, their level of risk, if you will, what kind of future disease will they have. So an example is if the computer indicates you have a risk of heart disease and physicians now are permitted to prescribe heart drugs prior to the condition being evident. So it has always been, you know, illegal, like I said, for a doctor to prescribe medication to a patient who did not have the existing condition and that warranted the drug therapy. But today, physicians are given extreme leeway with drug therapies now. So medicine has defined drug treatment as if a treatment of a disease or for an illness not yet evident. They've kind of redefined it. So we can't help but think, though, of vaccines falling into this category of future disease, in which vaccines have maybe no peer review or double-blind studies involved, proving that they're effective in preventing disease, but I don't know if that seems to matter to them. This is a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health. They said, the treatment of chronic illness commonly includes the long-term use of pharmacology therapies. Wow. Long-term use. Lifelong use. Can't get off the med. Well, there are some ethical issues, of course. So the National Center for Biotechnology is saying that there are profound ethical issues with regard to prescribing and using medicines. And they mention external influences driving this area, such as your political and community interest and your cultural beliefs area. They discuss how important it is to have relevant and true research as a foundation for ethical treatment. Here's a quote from them. They said, the virtue of case studies is the context which is critical to answer the empirical questions that ethical issues we rely on. So if the science is fraudulent, what do they got? Nothing really. Now, in countries where they have socialized healthcare systems where drug treatments are supposedly free, the public is not embracing drugs to prevent or even embrace the computer-predicted illnesses. They don't like it over there. So, for instance, in the UK, women are not embracing or willing to take toxic drugs to prevent breast cancer they don't have yet. So they're rejecting that treatment. Now, in December of 2018, the Cancer Research Center and the University of Leeds in the UK published a study in the Journal of Clinical Breast Cancer. Only one-fifth of healthy women would take tamoxifen drug therapy to protect them from the likelihood of future breast cancer. So in reality, only 15% actually took the treatment, and about 72% of the women said they were not going to take such a drug for a disease they didn't have yet. And they were really concerned about lifelong effects or side effects from taking a drug. 57% said that the drug side effects were worrisome. And they asked over 400 healthy women who medicine felt were at a high risk of breast cancer to participate in this drug prevention study. Most of them said no. And the women, they were involved in the survey that did say yes, this is what they reported. 29% said the doctors prescribe too many meds. 35% said the doctors don't spend enough time with their patients and are able to prescribe fewer drugs. 24% said that they had experienced bad reactions to the medicine. 24% felt long-term drug therapy is not good for people. 23% said that they had sensitivities to the medicines. 17% said natural therapies were safer than drugs, and they were interested in pursuing that. Now, Samuel Smith, he's a medical doctor at University of Leeds in the UK. He says, women in our study were rightfully concerning with the potential harms of using preventative drug therapies. Some beliefs about the use of drugs were very, very negative, end of quote. So in this study out of the UK, it's highlighting that the public perceive drugs as a risk and are now asking, do they want to accept the risk? So Dr. Smith comments in the article that modern medicine must do more to train healthcare professionals so that they can counter the public's fear or concerns about using these drugs, especially for non-existent diseases and the use in preventative type therapy. So they got to come up with a tactic. You know, they got to come up with something that sounds plausible to put your fears aside and just swallow the bloody pill. Yeah, that's pretty much the attitude. Mm-hmm. So what's really interesting, though, is in the December 2015 Cancer Research Center report in the UK, along with researchers at Queen Mary University of London, they did a similar study, and in their study, which was published in the Annals of Oncology, it involved 21,000 women of all different ages who were said to have a high risk of developing breast cancer. So the women were observed over a 5-year course of drug treatment as a prevention method. Only 16% agreed to the treatment, and most of them only took the drug for 1 year. Dr. Samuel Smith was part of the research, as well as it seems that the medicine has not been able to change the opinion of women to take a toxic drug in hopes it prevents disease they don't have yet. So people are just leery, and rightly so. Dr. Smith says, our research reveals that only a small portion of eligible women make the decision to have preventative medications, and it is critical to find out why so many choose not to take the drugs or stop taking them before completing the course, end of quote. Well, I'll tell you this, Doc. People don't trust you. They don't trust the science much anymore. That's your problem. That's your underlying problem. There's so much information that people can look up for themselves now and educate themselves that they're skeptical. They're just not, you know, I mean, grandparents today, yeah, that generation trusted science. They would just go along with it. But people today, especially millennials, Frank, have you noticed the millennials? Oh, they don't like big government. They don't like the industrial enterprise. They just don't like the system. So they're really hard to convince. So in both of these studies we're talking about, the researchers used radiation mammograms to check the progress of the women on the treatment. Radiation? Hello, Dr. Smith, known to give people breast cancer. And I know lots of research has been done on this, that you give a person a mammogram for 10 or 15 years, they're going to come usually up with breast cancer. I worked in healthcare, and I was talking to a technician once that was fixing the mammogram machine, okay, came to do maintenance, whatever it is. And I just happened to ask him, I said, hey, what kind of radiation comes out of this when you have a mammogram? Because we're told it's just very low dose and it's not anything to worry about. He laughed. And he said, you're talking about 700 chest x-rays. Yeah, there was a pause when he said it to me, too. I was just like, whoa. And women are not told that. So, you know, basically we have a sick care system out here. And if we want it changed, we got to make changes. We have to, you know, I guess start telling them, no, I want something else. I want something safe. I want something natural. I want something healthy. I want something my body knows is good for it and not toxic and stress my liver. It's not going to kill my kidneys. Hello? That's what we want. By the way, big data collection is a problem, I think, too, because the target can be involving matrix and predictions that, you know, influence policymaking. And so the artificial intelligence is also very concerning, I think. Here is a quote from Frost and Sullivan Market Research. They said this, the market for artificial intelligence in healthcare and the life sciences is projected to grow by over 40% a year or to over $6 billion by 2021. Of course, we're past that now. So investments, heavy investments pouring into healthcare systems, not just the pharmaceutical side, but the technology side. The technology giants are already up and running with a lot of this technology to help push therapies and treatments. And if you missed the show Tuesday, we'll have it soon up in the archives, but we were talking about how Finland kind of exposed the U.S. Research on bone density medications as not being honest, you know, because women are told, oh, going to have 30 to 50% bone loss and going through menopause, menopausal, premenopause, through menopause, postmenopause, you're going to have bone loss. Well, Finland says you have bone loss, women, it may be as much as 10%, but maybe not as much as 10%. So, what was it? It was $7 billion a year just on the bone density meds the drug companies made, right, Frank? 134 U.S. women being marketed to. Well, if you missed this show, go back and hear it because, you know, it's important to have truth so you can make the right decisions. So basically, we've got a lot of technology creeping into healthcare, there's a study in the New England Journal of Medicine. This was a very small study group. It was unable to get any answer for their data, and they wanted the computer AI to learn and make treatment decisions the country, actually, based on just clinical studies. But if your clinical studies, folks, if your clinical studies are tainted with fraud, which many, I bet 58% or more are, then your artificial intelligence is going off of that. Yeah. So we got a problem. That was Regina Raisley, she's a professor at MIT. What data is being processed is what she says is what's going to happen to patients afterward. See? So I think we have a lot of work to do. I think we're going to have to be more proactive, and we're going to have to be firm in what we believe is safe for us personally. I don't know if you've noticed, but most of your general practitioner offices will call you up once a quarter, four times a year, roughly, and convince you to come in for studies. Okay, whether it's colorectal scans, mammograms, any of those things, artery scans, you know, any of this stuff. And I have to tell people there's a 20% error margin built into these tests, okay? If we didn't learn that through COVID, I don't know how you're going to learn it. But, hey, big old error margin. Frank says we all just need to say no. Well, yeah. So, don't be shy about saying no. And, you know, when people want an explanation why you say no, my response to that is no is a complete sentence. I don't have to explain it. See? I get called, Frank, I get called. They want me to come in for mammograms, colonoscopy. I know people have died having a colonoscopy. Yeah. I tell them, no. I don't do those things. If you have a clean diet and you're living well and you're avoiding those prepackaged foods and lots of alcohol and tobacco, you have a better chance of survival than these people going over these studies. You know Dick Clark, Frank? Remember Dick Clark, right? He died having a colonoscopy. He was about to leave with his wife that he had retired, and they were going on this world tour, you know, just to go travel and see the sights. And his doctor talks him into having a colonoscopy before he gets on the plane. And he died. They punctured his colon, and bacteria got into the bloodstream, and he died within 2 days of sepsis. All his organs shut down. That's just, you know, a high-profile one, but there's many of them like that. So stand your ground. You know, if you got something to say about it, that's what I say you should do. And I'm out of time, but don't forget, big savvy supplement sale going on at Apothecary Herbs. Save 20% now through the 29th. Details will be online tomorrow. But you can give them a call at 866-229-3663 or visit them at thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.